But we have a special treat this morning. We have two of our very best that are speaking this morning. And I would first like to invite up to the stage our lovely Ashby. Give it up.
Hello. Good morning, ladies. Okay, let's not be quiet in here this morning. I know we are chatters. Come on. I saw y'all at mingle time. Y'all chatting away. Didn't want to stop. All right, so I have a few little tools that we can use this morning to help us to encourage each other, because this message is not just for me, but it is for every single person here. So can I get a whoop whoop? Yeah. All right. I got a little new one for y'all. Okay. It's called YGG. You go, girl. So if y'all like what I'm saying, you hear Jesus, you're like, you go, girl. YGG. YGG. All right. We're going to practice on it. On the count of three, ready? One, two, three.
YGG.
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good. All right, are you guys awake, caffeinated this morning? Yes, everyone had their coffee. I'm a mom now, so I drink at least 5 cups of coffee a day, starting at 5 a.m. when my son wanted to wake up this morning. So fun. And then I just wanted to say thank you. I know Pastor Sharon's actually away on a business retreat right now, but a just huge thank you to Pastor Sharon for believing in me and Rach to be able to speak to you lovely ladies this morning. So we don't take that for granted at all, and we are so, so honored, and we just love Pastor Sharon so much. Don't we just love Pastor Sharon? I know, she's the best. And then I also have a little treat for myself this morning, but my mom drove from Williamsburg, so I know, trekked that tunnel traffic, you know what I'm saying? That is the worst, when you go to the outlets and you wait 2 hours and for nothing at the tunnel, you're like, what did I just wait for? Nothing. There was no crash, no nothing, which I would never want there to be a crash, however. Anyways, we are just super excited. Rach and I are actually going to be continuing on our Who Is This Man series. I don't know if you were able to hear the series that Pastor Steve started a few weeks ago, but it is just amazing. And it's just good for even us as believers, or if you're not a believer here yet, just to know, who is Jesus? Who is this man that we talk about or that we want to follow, or what are his intentions for us and how much does he love us? So we're super excited to be continuing in that. If I look at my notes a lot, it's because I have mom brain. It's like this thing where you have a child and then you just forget everything. I'm like, oh, did I eat this morning? Yes, YGG. I'm like, did I eat this morning? Wait, what day is it? Oh, it's Saturday, and it's 5 o'clock. And I'm like, I don't know what's happening. So just bear with me a little bit. So the Bible actually talks about the 7 I ams of who Jesus is. And this is found in the book of John. I'm not going to go through all 7 of them. You guys can look at that on your own time. But I will just list them for you, and then I'll just speak on one of them, and then Pastor Rachie will speak on the others. So the first one is the bread of life, the light of the world, the gate, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, the life, and the vine. This morning, I am going to be speaking on who am I? Who is this man, Jesus, the good shepherd? All right, can we take a moment to pray? God, we just thank you for who you are. And we just thank you for this moment as women, as your daughters, gathering in your house, Lord. And we just get to listen to your voice individually, God. I just know that you have a word for every single person in here, God, and that you know their situation. You know exactly what they're going through, God. And you are going to speak directly to them. And we just declare that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Also, let's give it up for Zach. Zach, are you staying up here? You are? Oh, you can go. You're good. Yeah, yeah. You good. This is for the girls, honey. You get on out of here. Just kidding. So, okay, fun fact. I actually looked up what a 2019 shepherd looked like because I was like, wait, what? Like, is that still a thing? Because I read it in the Bible and I was like, oh my gosh, wait, what would a 2019? They look like a regular you and I. They're wearing jeans out there, herding sheep. I'm like, that was just a fun little fact that I did because I was like, wait, maybe I'll just look it up and see what's happening in 2019. So what does a good shepherd do? A good shepherd guides and leads his sheep and keeps them from harm. I think some key things that we really need to know about to allow Jesus to guide and lead us as our good shepherd. I'm going to go over two of those right now. Number one, the good shepherd knows his sheep and he cares about them. Jesus cares about you and I. He cares about what we're going through. He cares about the daily situations of our life. He cares about every single thing that we encounter daily. And that's just so, that's Jesus, and he loves us so much. So if you turn with me to Psalm 139, 13 through 18, it says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born." You were not here for mistake, ladies. "Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts for me, O Lord. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me." The best thing about God is he knows the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful about each and every one of us. And he wants to know that, ladies. He is not scared of our questions. He's not scared of our past. He's not scared of our future or our present. He knows that we are not perfect. If he knew that we were perfect, he wouldn't have sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, right? So I think that sometimes as girls, we love to compare, right? Mm-hmm. We love to look at the lady next to us and see what they're wearing and see, oh, how their life is going. Oh, she's got a boyfriend and I don't have a boyfriend. Oh, she's married, has the perfect life. No, that's not how Jesus is. Jesus loves us and has a plan and a purpose for us. We have a game face on sometimes, even when we come to church, right? I'm speaking to myself right now, too. I can walk in the door, had a rough day, and be like, "Hi, how are you? Oh, so good. Yes, let me get that for you." But, you know, every single one of us goes through something. And God knows that, and he is not scared of it, and he is okay with it. And he actually loves that as long as we take that to him, right? You are not here by mistake. In Psalm, we just read that. God knew who you were before you were even here. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're going to go through. And he wants to draw you closer to him. He wants to be your good shepherd and guide you and lead you in this life. Because you're not supposed to do it alone. That's why we have community. That's why we're here this morning. Number two is probably one that I have been honing on myself and just really felt like God has even just been talking to me, so I'm just excited to share this. My second point is the good shepherd sacrifices his life for his sheep. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for us. He died on the cross for our sins. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." This is not based on contingency. This is not based on how we feel. This is a fact. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, died on the cross for every single one of your sins. Not the scale of 1 to 2 sin, or 1 to 10 sin. That's what I like to call it. We like to say, "Oh, little white lies. Jesus, you know, I'm covered." Oh, but her sin? Her sin's way bigger than my sin. I don't know about that, honey. I'm going to judge you a little bit. Yeah, no. Mm-mm. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus died on the cross, whether you have told a white lie or whether you have done something of immense consequence. He loves you no matter what, every single day. It goes on to say, John 3:17, "God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." Not to judge the world. Again, I'm preaching to myself, y'all. I ain't perfect. I'm like, I do the same thing. I do the comparison game, the 1 to 10 scale, you know, the little white lies that when an Amazon box shows up on our doorstep, I'm like, how did that get there? My husband's like, what'd you order? I'm like, I don't know. What'd you order? He's like, I didn't order anything. Oh, I must have accidentally ordered it. Or my 13-month-old son told Alexa to order it. Right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a thing anymore, but did y'all ever see the articles of when kids would order toys from their parents' card? How hilarious. I mean, if that was me, I'd be mad at my son. However, it's funny when it's someone, I'm like, yeah, that's funny. Okay, speaking of my son, I have a almost 13-month-old son, but he is a little sassy pants, and he is going through the phase where he wants to suddenly be a picky eater. So I'll make like a nice little lunch for him. It's got like cut up avocados, mac and cheese. The kid could eat cheese all day. And I made him a lunch the other day. I had a poll in my office. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of Beanie Weenies. Raise your hand. Yes. No one in my office has ever heard of Beanie Weenies. Y'all, it's baked beans and cut up hot dogs. And it's good. Okay, so if you're balling on a budget, get your kids some Beanie Weenies because they good. Anyways, Beckham decides to not eat any of his Beanie Weenies. And I can just picture how this went down. My son just likes to do this thing where he will look at you, look at the plate, look at you, and go, and drop it on the floor. And I'm like, oh, child, you are cute and I love you. But I'm like, really? But sometimes he will just pick and choose what he eats. And sometimes as people, we do this with our sins. We pick and choose which sins we feel like Jesus has forgiven us of and not lived in the full freedom of every single one of our sins. Ladies, I am telling you right now, nobody is perfect, and Jesus has forgiven every single one of us, no matter what sin, no matter what shame, no matter what guilt. You can walk out of here in true, true freedom, knowing that Jesus loves you. He cares about you. He cares about every single thing that we go through. In Romans 3:23-24, it says, "For we have all sinned and are all in need of the glory of God. Yet through his powerful declaration, God freely gives away his righteousness. His gift of love and favor now cascades over us, all because Jesus, the Anointed One, has liberated us from the guilt, punishment, and power of sin." I just want to leave you with one thought, because I spoke on Jesus being the good shepherd, and every single one of us has something in this life that is leading us. And if it's not Jesus, it might be a relationship, it might be work, it might be money. I'm not sure what you're walking through directly. However, I know that Jesus, the name and the person and the power of who he is, brings us freedom. And that is nothing to, how do I word this? That is something that is for every one of us. And that is, despite whatever we've walked through or whatever we will walk through, do not fear the presence of God. He wants to know exactly what you're going through, where you are at, and he cares so deeply for you. So I just, that's my little note for this morning. So we'll bring up Rachie Brown for us. Come on, Rachie.
Baby. Woo! Okay, so I was sitting next to Ashby's mum while she was speaking, and she was doing like a bit of a running commentary on her message, and she said, yeah, if Alexis was around when she was a baby, she would have been ordering those gifts. Yes. I think you're just getting a little bit of payback with Beckham, hey? No, never sassy. Girls, how are you? If I haven't had the pleasure of meeting you, my name's Rachel, and I'm one of the pastors on team here at Wave Church, and just so excited that you would make your way here to Sisters this morning. And I just think it's great that in the middle of the week, old hump day, that we can just find a bit of an oasis, you know, to come together and worship God and just have fun. I said to Ashby, we're just going to have fun this morning. We're going to speak about a few truths about who Jesus is, but we're just going to have fun. And so this morning I'm talking about Jesus being the vine. And my main text comes from John 15, verses 5-8. It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Girls, let me tell you, that's something really good to remind yourself of. That he is the vine and we are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You know, this is a pretty clear portion of scripture that talks about the life-giving power of Jesus and the fact that as we are connected to him, that life-giving power also flows to us. You know, my first point this morning is that Jesus is our source. Now, I don't know about you, have you ever tried to do something and you're just not really equipped for it? And you kind of bumble your way through? I remember the first time I came to America, it was in 1997, and I was on team here with Pastor Wally and Gwen Odom at a church called Church the Redeemer. And every Christmas, we would sell Christmas trees. Now, girls, I'm from Australia, right? Now, Christmas time in Australia is in the middle of summer, scorching hot. So we don't really, although there are some people that have live Christmas trees, it's pretty common that we have the artificial tree in Australia, because if you have a live one, that little sucker's going to die pretty quickly. But I remember I was scheduled to be on the Christmas tree lot. Now, I was kind of excited because I was in America and it was Christmas, it was cold, and from the time I was a little girl, I always dreamed about having cold Christmases. And so I'm out there, I know nothing about these pine trees, like nothing. And I am bumbling my way through like you would. I tell you, I could sell ice to the Eskimos. I was a great saleswoman. But there were two types of pine trees. There was the Scotch pine and the white pine. And people would come and say, you know, what tree would you recommend that I purchase? I'd be like, right, well, we've got two types of trees here, the Scotch pine and the white pine. I was like, depends. Do you have a lot of ornaments that you need to hang on your tree? And if they said yes, then I would recommend the Scotch pine to them because it had hardier branches and it was, you know, stronger, where the white pine had softer branches and it smelt like a real pine tree. And I'm telling you, I was just spinning yarns. I mean, they were kind of true maybe, but I was just kind of talking off the top of my head because I had no idea what I was talking about. Trying to do something I was absolutely not equipped for. You know, I am not much of a green thumb. In fact, if you were to give me a potted plant, wouldn't take long before that little sucker is in plant heaven. It just, I don't know what it is. I've never really been a gardener. I'm not good with that. But I do know some basic things about plants. I know for a plant to grow the way that it is intended to grow, the way it, to flourish the way it was intended to flourish, it needs to be connected to a life source. The branches need to be connected to the vine or to the trunk. Now, as I mentioned, I'm not much good about, you know, plants, but one thing I do know, I'm a good cleaner. And so this morning I was thinking about this plant being connected to its life source, and I was thinking about vacuum cleaners, because I was vacuuming my house the other day, which is a good thing. And a vacuum cleaner is a great thing, but if it's not connected to anything, it's pretty useless. It looks good. It looks like it's doing the job. It looks pretty efficient, but it actually is useless. It's not operating the way it's meant to operate until it's connected to the source. Oh, yeah. Sound of heaven right there, girls. Beautiful. And so it is the same with you and I, girls. We can look like we've got it all together. And we are good at doing that, aren't we? Put the smile on the face, go to work, go to church, in our house. Although, people that know you the best, it's pretty hard to fake it there. We can look like we've got it all together, that we're being productive, that we're being fruitful. But unless we're connected and remain connected to Jesus, it's useless. It's just a show. That's all it is. And, you know, the scripture talked about if you remain in me, and my words remain in you. I was thinking about that. God, what does it mean to remain in you? There's the basic things like, you know, making sure that you are spending time with Jesus. Just like any relationship, you need to cultivate it. You have a friendship, you need to make time for them. You need to have a conversation with them. It's the same way with Jesus. But I was thinking about just some keys about how can we remain in him. And the first thing is, don't isolate yourself. You know, Proverbs 18, verse 1, it says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire and he rages against all wise judgment. When you isolate yourself, you become inward focused. Everything becomes about you. Issues and problems that you're going through will be bigger than what they need to be because it's all about you. When we isolate ourselves, our eyes are taken off Jesus. Our eyes are taken off the source, the very one that can help us through situations. When we isolate ourselves, you know, left to our own devices, our own humanity will always take us down to the lowest common denominator, always, always. You know, I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where I have just not used wisdom. And, you know, I'm a single girl, so it's real easy to be independent. I kind of have to be because there's no man in my world, you know, all the single girls. You know what I'm talking about, right? And it's really easy just to go, I've got this, I can do this, I can do this. And yet I'll find myself going down trains of thought and I'll get to a place in my mind and I think, how on earth did I start thinking like that? Really easy to do, really easy. And it's again because I've taken my eyes off the source. I haven't kept plugged in to that source, that power of Jesus. Don't isolate yourself because there is power in staying connected. Do you know, there's an incredible woman in my life named Heather. And Heather, in November last year, was diagnosed. She had bone lesions all over her bone, all over her body, mainly in her torso, and it broke some ribs and it fractured a bicep. And she was diagnosed with a really severe form of lymphoma, cancer. And November the 12th, she started chemotherapy. She was very fortunate enough that she got accepted into UVA, into the program there, and she went through 5 months of really, really intense, aggressive chemotherapy. She lost a lot of weight, lost her hair, lost all those things that, you know, we sometimes identify ourselves as women, you know. And yet Heather remained connected. She never isolated herself. She's someone that serves on a team here at church. She's someone that's part of a community group. She just did not isolate herself. And Heather is she's what we would call in Australia, she's a real goer. Like, she doesn't sit still real well, you know. She's kind of like, oh, she's an action kind of girl. But this treatment just totally took it out of her, like totally, absolutely wiped her energy. And there were some days where she couldn't even get out of bed. And mentally and emotionally, that stuff plays on you, you know. She underwent some radiation, and on March the 5th, just last month, she had her last week of treatment. On Monday, I got a text from her saying that she met with the oncologist at UVA and with her oncologist and another doctor, and it's in their opinion that she has no more disease left in her body, which is a great praise report, an incredible praise report. But I want to tell you something about this woman. She did not isolate herself. In the darkest, in the loneliest places that she found herself, she remained connected. And she journeyed this cancer journey so incredibly well. Now, that's not to say she did not have bad days. She had some really, really tough days. Days where you think, am I ever going to feel normal again? Am I ever going to feel better? Is this disease ever going to leave my body? And yet, because she remained connected, there was a strength that she found, there was community that she found, there was support that she found that she would never have got if she didn't remain connected, if she didn't remain connected into the house of God, if she didn't remain connected with her eyes on Jesus, if she didn't remain connected in his word and in prayer. And she, honestly, I am just so incredibly proud of her because I was saying to her just last week, the way you've journeyed this is inspirational. Because I've got to be honest, girls, I don't know if I would have done so well, you know. And yet she said, honestly, Rachel, the power of the church and the power of community and the power of just staying and being, even in those really tough moments, were the things that got me through. When you isolate yourself, God and church, they just become an option. I don't feel like going. Let me tell you, there were days, and there were many, many weeks where she couldn't come to church. She just couldn't physically come. But I'm telling you, she was at Devoted Conference. She pushed herself and she was here and she's like, no, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be with the girls. I'm going to gather with the girls. And it took a lot of effort and a lot of energy out of her, but she's remained connected with it. The enemy would love to isolate you because you become an easier target. You know, have you ever watched David Edinburgh, like The Wild Planet and all the animal shows? And if you have ever seen, you know, a prey going after, a wild animal going after prey, you watch and they'll wait and they'll see that little one that just isolates itself. They'll see that little one that just lags behind. They'll see that little one that's easy to target. And that's the way the enemy is with us as well. The Bible says that he roams around looking, who can I devour? Who's by themselves? Who's isolated themselves? Who's kind of going down a wrong thought that they shouldn't be going down, and I can easily just sway them? I tell you, the power of being connected, the power of understanding that Jesus is the vine, he is our source, and with that comes not just the relationship with Jesus, but comes a relationship with the church, comes a relationship with each other, comes a relationship in community group. It's those things that will keep you anchored and will keep you strong. You know, the spiritual life courses through Jesus, and as long as we're connected to Christ, his spiritual life also flows through us. That's why we can clearly say the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within us if we remain connected. We truly do have access to the divine, world-changing power of Christ. Right now, you might be going through a season and you're thinking, Rachel, I just am depleted. I am going through some things and it is taking everything within me just to get out of bed in the mornings. It's taking everything within me just to look like I am functioning. Can I tell you, as we lean in, as we realize the source is Jesus, as we rely not on our own strength but on his strength, his word says in our weakness, when we are the most vulnerable, when we are the most weak, that's when his strength is made perfect in us. It's made perfect if we just lean in. And, you know, naturally speaking, our human nature, when we're going through things like that, we just want to bolt. We just want to flee, you know. But God says, no, you remain in me. And if you remain in me, my word will remain in you, and I'll see you through. The second thing about Jesus being the vine is that he produces the very best in us. He produces the very best. That first part of the scripture in John 15, verses 1, it says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So we're either being pruned or we're either being cut off, girls. One or the other. There's parts of our life that are being cut or other parts. Pruning just means cleaning. You know, like I said, I'm not much of a gardener, but I do have a little potted plant at the house. In fact, it's my roommate's, which is good because I'm like, okay, you can take responsibility of it because if it's under my care, we'll just say prayers now. But anyway, it's one of those plants, I don't know what they're called. It's a plant that has like little white flowers. Anyway, it's an indoor plant. And the other day it had some dead leaves hanging off the base of it. And so I got my scissors and I kind of cut them out and stuff, which is kind of pruning. Or actually, that's cutting off the dead branch. It's cutting off the dead branch. And then there were other parts where there's just a leaf that was like, had withered or died. And I was just pruning it. And it's amazing how that plant picked up and spiked up and looked healthier and kind of flourished a bit better. And there are areas in our life where maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a bad habit, but God goes, okay, honey, it's time now. We're going to deal with that. Maybe there's some relationships in your life that really you need to cut off. They're just not healthy relationships. Not meaning that you have to disband the person, but you need to just cut off the voice that they have in your life. Or maybe there's just a habit that you've got into, a bad habit that you just go, this is just not beneficial for me. It's that pruning. It's like, okay, come on, you're going to be... I don't know about you girls, but I want to be everything that God's called me to be. I want to live life to the fullest, that John 10:10 life that God talks about, that Jesus talks about. I've come to give you life and give it to the full. That doesn't magically happen. It's not like, oh, God, just give me life to the full. God. No, there are sometimes actions that we've got to take in order to do that. When we allow Jesus to become the center and the focus of our lives, when we allow him to take control, then the quality of our life begins to change. And I have discovered, the older that I'm getting, it is not what happens to you. Because I have to tell you, girls, there's going to be stuff that just happens to you. Do you know, today is the 1 year anniversary of Melissa Labatt's passing, which is, for those that know, Larry and Doris, their daughter, Larry and Doris Vandery, their daughter Melissa, 1 year ago, went to be with Jesus, very unexpectedly. Sometimes life happens. Sometimes things happen that are really, really tough. I think about this morning as we prayed for Priscilla Shira. You know, her mum just got diagnosed with cancer, and Priscilla has had some major, major loss in the last year. Major loss, lots of family members that have passed. And again, it's so easy to think, oh, is this going to be another one? There is stuff that happens. You can't prevent life from happening to you. There is things that are going to happen. There are circumstances that are going to come that blindside you that you had no idea about. But I want to encourage you that Jesus, as the source, if he's your source, when those storms come, when those situations happen, there will be a strength that will happen in you. There will be like a steel in your backbone that will hold you standing. It will hold you standing even when everything else around you feels like crumbling. It will hold you fast. I love the scripture. We don't have it because I was looking at it this morning before I came up, but Isaiah 43 verses 16 to 19 in the Message. I love this scripture. It says, this is what God says. The God who builds a road right through the ocean. And maybe you are feeling like you are in deep water this morning. That you're feeling like you are just nostrils away from drowning in a situation. He's going to make a road right through that. He makes a road right through the ocean, who carves a path through the pounding waves. Maybe there are some storms in your life and you are just feeling like you are being thrown to and fro and that you're being pounded. Let me tell you, he carves a path through that. The God who summons horses and chariots and armies. They lie down and they can't get up. They're snuffed out like so many candles. Forget about what happened. Don't keep going over old history. That's a real key. You know, when things happen to us, it's really easy to get stuck in that situation, really easy to go over it and over it and over it and over it. God says don't keep going over that old history. Be alert and be present. Be present today, girls. Be alert today. Because he says, I'm about to do something brand new. I'm about to do something brand new in you. And it's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert and rivers in the wasteland. And there may be areas in your life where you feel, boy, this is like a desert. I feel really dry, really dry. I want to promise you today, as you allow Jesus to be that vine in your life, as you allow him to be the source of your life, as you come to him and say, God, I need you. As you come to him and you yield your life to him, you know, the circumstance may not change, but something in you changes. There's a shift that takes place. There's a strength that comes. Something changes within you. I love Joyce Meyer. I love the girl because she's just amazing. But she says, she has this saying, she says, let's do life with God. Let's do life with him. Sometimes it's really easy to put him on the back burner or put him, you know, to the side. I've got this. But, you know, every morning as you wake up, if you say, Jesus, what do you have for us today? Let's do this thing together. It might be something really simple, but it changes your perspective to know that there is a God in heaven who absolutely is madly and crazy and deeply in love with you and is so wanting you to say, come to me. Will you come to me? Will you give this to me? Will you allow me to be the vine in your life? Will you allow me to be the source of your life? Life is just so much better, so much better. He cuts the things out in us that are dead, that weigh us down. He cuts the things that are not producing, that may not look beautiful. He does that so we can grow strong. Do you know, his timing is perfect, girls. And I just believe that's a word for someone here today. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, he makes everything beautiful in its time. And his timing is perfect. The thing about God's timing is it's not our timing. Gosh, don't you hate that? Because you have a plan. You look at your life and you think, this is what my life is going to be like. This is how I would like it to be. And 99.99999% of the time, it does not turn out that way. It doesn't turn out that way. And when we have unrealistic expectations that are not met, it's amazing how discouragement can come. It's amazing how, again, we start focusing on us rather than focusing on those around. That's why I so love our Virginia Beach girls from the health department. I love it because you live a life that is all about others. And when you live a life about others, it takes the focus off yourself. And when you do that, you know, the Bible says, he who refreshes others himself is refreshed. You know, sometimes we feel like we've got nothing left to give, but as we give, supernaturally, somehow, we just get strengthened and we get full again. It's a miracle, because there are moments, and you would know this, if you're part of a community group, well, hopefully you all are because you're sisters, but, you know, if you're coming to church and sometimes the last thing you want to do is go to church, oh, I just don't want to do that, I don't want to go, oh, I've got to clean my house, you know, and then you go and you come away thinking, that was the best thing. That's the best thing ever. God needs to be, Jesus so desires to be the source of our life, the one that gives us strength. Do you know, Charisse, as you were speaking on the offering today, I just really sense to encourage you to say, you have an incredible voice. And I know that there are women and men, actually, especially young people, that really look to you. And you are like a drop of wisdom to them in just conversation that you have. But I just want to encourage you. I just believe there are things in your heart that you have cried out to God for years. And I just want to encourage you. I just sense that there is a new season coming for you, Charisse, where those things that you've desired, those things that you've longed for, you're going to see some breakthrough. You're going to see some breakthrough. And there's things that you have sown and you've not yet reaped. And I believe you're coming into a season of reaping. I don't know what that looks like. I have no idea. But those secret whispers of your heart, I just want to tell you that Holy Spirit has heard you. And I believe he's going to be faithful to see those things come through. You are a powerhouse, sweetie. You really are. And you are more influential than what you realize. And we're just so grateful that you are in this house. Just love you, honey. Yeah, I really just sense the Holy Spirit say that as you were sharing. Yeah, good girl. Well, I don't want a morning to go past without giving the opportunity for people to say yes to Jesus. You know, I don't know how you came to be here this morning. I don't know the details of your life. I'd be a bit crazy if I did know the details of your life. Could you imagine? Over 100 women, like, it's like that movie, What Do Women Want? And you could hear the voices of women. It'd be like, drive you insane. But there is a God in heaven that knows every detail of your life. He knows the things that are concerning you. He knows the things that are worrying you. He knows the things that you have deeply asked and travailed in prayer for. He knows those things. And he's not withholding good for you from you. It's just that his timing is the perfect timing. There have been times in my life where situations have happened and I'm like, I don't understand this, God, at all. And it's not until I've come on the other side of it that I just go, God, you're so brilliant. I could not have designed that if I wanted to. But he knew exactly what he was doing because he's God, right? He knows. And from the foundations of the earth, he knew you, just like Ashby talked about. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows you. And this morning, I just want to give you an opportunity to say yes to him, to open your heart and say, Jesus, will you come in? Will you be the vine in my life? Will you be that source? Will you be that good shepherd? Will you lead me and will you guide me? And so I'm just going to ask if you would just bow your head and close your eyes this morning, because I believe there are women all over this building that just need to say yes to him. Maybe you've never, ever given your life to Jesus. Or maybe at one stage, one time you did, but if you're really honest with yourself, you just know you're just not living the way you need to live. Maybe he's just not, in areas of your life, he is not that source. He's not the good shepherd. He's not the voice that you're listening to. He's not the voice that you're allowing to direct your life. And I want to just give you an opportunity this morning to say yes to him. I'm going to count to three. When I say three, you can just lift your hand. I'll see it and you can put it back down again. I'm not going to embarrass you. We're just going to say a prayer together, and I want to know who it is that I'm praying for this morning. One, Jesus loves you, honey. Oh, madly, deeply in love with you. Two, there is nothing that you've done, nothing that you'll ever do that will separate you from the love of Jesus. Three, all over this place, will you just raise your hand? Raise your hand. Thank you. I see your hand, sweetie. Anyone else this morning, just say yes to Jesus. I need you, Lord Jesus. Yep, see your hand, sweetheart. Anyone else this morning says yes to Jesus? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's pray you come and breathe on us this morning. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. Anyone else this morning, just lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. Thank you, God. Girls, I'm going to pray, and as I pray, will you repeat this prayer after me? I want everyone to repeat it. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross that I might be forgiven for everything I've done wrong. I ask you to come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for giving me a hope and a future. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Girls, can we give them a hand? As two brilliant women that raised your hand.